Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh, and the humble shall hear. Blessed be the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I'm Sister Ashley. Some of you are sisters, so some of you just a voice. Hallelujah to some of you, a friend. I'm alone again tonight. Mother Jennifer will be tuned in listening. So bless you, all of Georgia. Bless you, your bodies, your minds. Bless the wombs of those who carry precious seed. Hallelujah. Bless the masters who will increase their own house this year with wives or children. Magnify Yahweh me. Hallelujah. Let us exalt his name together. I would like to open up the phone lines. And that is my intention for this show. If you haven't known before, the show is for you. It's not for me, it's for you. And never want to talk so much that there isn't an opportunity for you to speak and you to talk. Maybe you want to say thank you to somebody. Maybe you want to say thank you to Pastor. Maybe you've never been able to speak to him or call into his show. Maybe you've never called into our show. Maybe you want to say thank you to a sister to Mother Jennifer, Mother Carol, an elder, a leader, pastor, just a thank you or a quick testimony. We do always like to consider the time that we speak, so get your thoughts together. The number tonight, the guest calling tonight, 310-982-4226. I got two quick emails. Maybe talk about some behavior changes to become more Christ-like. Do you have questions? If I don't have answers, if I don't have direction, I will not waste your time. I will get you right where you need. I'll send you to the right woman in the ministry. I do know everything you could ask can be answered, even if we need to pass it along to our leaders who handle weighty matters. Special thank you to Elder Becker, who handles countless calls every year without complaint. Hallelujah. I want to give all praises to the Most High Yah for teaching my knees to war. I do have a little bit of, do you have any questions, my sisters, about prayer? Do you know how to talk? Do you know how free prayer is? Does it feel like bondage to you? Do you feel kind of shameful, embarrassed, bound, not knowing what to say? Do you have questions? You can email me. I got my email open. It's straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. Maybe we'll have some questions tonight coming in. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah. I sought Yah, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. I've been delivered from many, many, many fears, and it was by facing them all. And I always marvel at the Most High's ways. You gain faith through great loss. You gain love through great rejection. You know, maybe in your mind, when you flee out of the world and you join yourself to a body of believers and you're seeking love, maybe something in you really believes that you'll be completely accepted by everyone. And it's devastating when you bump up against someone who isn't as accepting as you believe they would, or maybe rejects you, and maybe you also reject. But either way, in that dynamic, the beauty of Yah being first, being chief, being sovereign, being the one that will accept you through it all, he's merciful and compassionate to the thousands of those who love him. And I have an email tonight that I'll read that'll put that in perspective, because although we really do talk a lot about, you know, building relationships and sisterhood, et cetera, having, you know, women, strong women in your life that are really going to teach you, you know, how to love Yah or how to train and admonish your children correctly and discipline them correctly, we really want you to find those jewels. They're very few and far in between. And in that dynamic of searching for a relationship, it is never supposed to trump your love for your Father, for your Creator. And so you're often reminded of that through the rejections that you experience in the flesh. And so by those rejections, you're going to learn how to love. So Yah knows exactly what to do to each of us to get us ready for the kingdom, and that is my acknowledgement tonight, hallelujah, that he is beautiful, wonderful, glorious. He's my Father, my Creator. Nothing's going to stop me from meeting him as my Maker, as my King. I continually seek him to be clean in my heart, my thoughts, my ways. I'm nothing at all in me against anyone. As I agree with my shepherd who says it well. Hey, a lot of people may hate our shepherd, but there's no one that he has as an enemy in his heart. And I agree. I was just speaking to Sister Tammy. Say hi, Tammy.
Shalom.
Tammy says shalom. Say hi, Granny Diane.
Bless you. Shalom, shalom.
Granny Diane says shalom. Hallelujah. No chat room is open on Blog Talk. Thank you. I'm relying completely upon Sister Sakina, who didn't show up tonight. No, I'm just saying. Sakina is off land, and we are we're having a wonderful fiesta and a siesta on the land, you know? getting things done. Lands, if you want to say, kind of closed in, you know, we're fellowshipping one to another, having a beautiful week. I did, but that means Sakina didn't get to travel to me tonight, and I missed her. So she would usually open up this chat room. Is that better? Chat room's open. Please start filing in. Let me know, Sister Tammy. Yep, here comes Dier. Dier is first in tonight. So, yeah, miss you, Sister Sakina, if you're able to hear.
Yes, we miss you.
Granny says we miss you. Hallelujah. Again, guest call in 310-982-4226. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to call in. Easier said than done, I know. Like I said, maybe you could also write me an email. I'm relying on you. I see you. I see the first email. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And shalom, she says. Hey, we got an imposter on our channel. You know, how could I forget to thank my beloved husband, he's taught me Christ. What can you say? He's taught me Christ. That's my testimony of him. Unmoving, unshaking, gentle, stern, kind presence in my life. Very, very thankful for him. Special shout out and thank you to Teacher Eric and all of his family, his beloved wife, children. Thank you, Teacher Eric. My husband's sons really enjoy your videos on 6 Day, the editing, the pictures. It keeps the entertainment, I guess, for the young ones. And though that's not what you're doing it for, you just do such a great job. It's very, you're just doing what you were called to do. And the encouragement that you give on every Facebook post, on every video, I really marvel at. It's something that Yah has placed inside you for sure. And same with Brother Daniel and the Lions Den, everyone who supports him, it's great to see. You know, we've kind of got our weekly schedule going on and, you know, that habitual schedule that we look forward to. So when it's not, when it's thrown off and there's not a blog talk or there's, you know, something different, you definitely notice. So Brother Daniel, Sister Chris, bless you, your body. Hallelujah. 9 weeks until Passover, 9 weeks. Call in. I took quite a few phone calls today in the dining hall. If you've gotten approval from Elder Becker, we'll take your name, your number, your arrival date, your departure date. Be ready for a camping trip. The dates are March the 24th through the 29th. The land is open to visitors, to those that are approved. So the 24th through the 29th is when we're accepting any and all of you. Hallelujah. So we look forward to seeing you. Pray that you guys are, you ladies, I should say, my sisters are getting ready for Passover. We say it every year. Never get weary of hearing it. Hallelujah. Never get weary of running for your life. When you feel yourself get weary or get tired, just get down on your knees. Hallelujah. Talk to Yah. Got a lot of people in front of you who have ran this race 10, 15, even 20 years. Talk to some of the old ones about weariness. If you think you're weary, talk to them about their journey. Hallelujah. So thank you, chat room, for rolling in. And y'all pardon me, Sister Sakina was not here to open it up, like I said, and maybe even next week, I think, might be the same repeat. We'll see. All the way through February, maybe. So, Sakina, I don't know if we'll see her next week. 9 weeks, yes, celebrate Passover with Straightway. Hallelujah. Sister Wenda, bless you. All right, we got an imposter. And I've gotten they're blocked from our channel, from the Straightway Help Me's channel. But let me see if I can pull up the email. Y'all bear with me because tonight, I'll remind you, I'm alone. So this particular imposter created a YouTube channel saying he was Pastor Charles Dow, PST Charles Dow, he's called. I'll give you an example of each time that I've read, because some sisters have screenshotted. Some sisters have called with the information, and some have even sent emails. But the message that this pastor posts, trying to be pastored out or imposing himself as pastored out, it's the same. He'll just change the name of the foundation that he's wanting you to support. So Pastor Dow has never asked for money. This particular screenshot says, hey, beloved, okay, this is as if Pastor Dow has written this to someone who commented on our video. So this person is just preying upon those who are following us So this person will just go behind some of the comments and, you know, kind of prey upon the women and just send them a reply. And so this comment is repeated over and over. I'm going to read it for you. Beloved, I don't know you in person, but God knows you. God ministered to me in a revelation when I was on your profile to see things around you. I saw blessings, but spiritual attacks holding on to them. In prayer, I saw a woman in the realm of the spirit monitoring and plotting delay in your life with an evil mirror and with a motive to destroy. This is not even Pastor Del's speech. If you follow him at all, he doesn't even speak these words. And this person also says, but as I speak to you now, her time is up. Render hand of favor with anything you can afford or give to the Motherless Foundation, God's Time Motherless Foundation in Kibi State, Nigeria. Before 2 days, with great faith, and as I rise my hands towards heaven and pray for you, they shall serve as point of contact wherever you are. Blah, blah. What's up number, another scripture, etc. So each time the foundation will change, like the name of it will. Maybe it might be in all caps, maybe it won't, maybe it'll be Motherless, maybe it'll be Needing Mothers Foundation, whatever. And they also have, it's always Nigeria. So someone's just, a few sisters that I've spoken to gave them money, so didn't know that it wasn't Pastor. I suggest you follow someone close enough to get the rhythm of their spirit and their speech before you, give to them anyway, right? You want to hear our man of Yah, our man of God, and give to him. Thank you so much, by the way, for all offerings and support. But you know his manner of speech. You know who he is and how he talks. And he wouldn't speak anything like this, all right? So just heads up, got an imposter. Like I said, he's now finally been blocked from our channel, but probably still out there. Let's see. What else? That was an email. I'm going back to Blog Talk Radio. Remember, guest call-ins, 310-982-4226. Don't be afraid to break the ice. Just say hi. Call in if you desire. Bless you, Sister Deidre, Mama Lily, Mama Muncie, Mother JC. Hallelujah. And the chat room says shalom to Ashley, Tammy, and Granny. We say Granny because we got children that call her Granny, you know. She's a sister to me. But she's old enough to be my mom. I can say Mom and Diane, but my children say Granny. All right. Let's head over to emails. Y'all please send in. Oh, cool. We got some emails coming in. All right, let's see. It says, bless you, my beloved sister Ashley. May you please speak on what a true confession to the Father looks like and sounds like. Okay. I'm going to use Tammy, for example, right? Did you know, I'm not talking to you, Tammy. I'm talking to everyone for a second. Did you know you can say names in prayer? Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you believe you're just supposed to talk to Yah without saying any names. But, for example, hey, my Father, I come under the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, with the intention to repent to you. Because today, Tammy and I had a discussion and a conversation, and I didn't like how I spoke to her. I didn't like what I said to her. I didn't like my heart. She might not have noticed, but this is what I said to her today. This is what Tammy said to me. This is what I didn't like about it. Right, Granny?
Yes.
You can say names in prayer. Don't hesitate. Especially you see, yes, she says, he knows your thoughts and the intents of your heart. So don't let Satan bind your confession to limitations, because we on this show, we've taught you, yes, you're going to the throne of grace boldly, but you're going respectfully. The pastor's done series of how to pray, you know, how to break curses, this, that, and the other. But there's always another level to prayer, another way to free yourself. And it's being very vulnerable, very transparent. So your confessions to the Father is, Father, I should have godly sorrow. I'm still smoking cigarettes. I'm still putting on makeup. But on Sabbath, I'm taking it off. Right? I'm still having sex with the same man. He's not my husband. You know, that's some of the worldly, carnal things. But how about, you know, I got this issue in my heart towards Sister Tammy. Like, I can see that my heart hates her. The reasons, I don't even know. But this is what I feel when she comes in the room. I don't even love her children. Right? So you're just being real clear. And you're saying, I don't have godly sorrow. And I should. I should feel terrible for this. And I don't. But see, by this continual going to your knees and wanting to change, then you're going to see fruit. But if you're going on your knees and you're saying these things and you don't want to change, then over time you're going to get up, you're going to get harder, more callous, more bitter, and just stop confessing in general, you know. But as a woman who really speaks to Yah, I mean, for me, I don't hold back anything in prayer. But you got to be living something, you know. You really got to be living upright, sincere, honest, behind the scenes on your knees, to have any kind of strength in the open, to have any kind of self-control over your flesh in the open. You really got to be vulnerable on your face to the Father. And so as you are love hungry, Granny Diane taught me that phrase, as you're love hungry and you're coming into the way and you're looking for someone to love and wanting, you know, does all women want to be loved? Sure. Are you like digging hard looking for a friend? Sure, because you know the potential that she has to help heal you. All these things you might be looking for, but you can't ever look for those things harder than Yah. And something about the human spirit is constantly driven to carnality, wanting to find someone in the flesh, you know, that's going to do for you what God can do for you. So I know that's a little deeper maybe in thought than I should go, but it's kind of like saying, man, Father, don't let Elder Rufus ever deny you, Father. I need his strength as my leader. Don't let any woman weaken him, Father. Don't let any leech pull from his anointing, Father. I need him to go forward in the march. I need him to lead Georgia, Father. We're banking on these men. You know, I'm giving you examples. Like, can I call an elder's name in prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. When somebody calls for prayer, typically they're coming from a Christian mindset. They call the dining hall, they ask for prayer, and it's always because they need a blessing, or it's always because somebody's sick. And that's not the case. As you, Granny Diane, you've been walking with Yah how long?
32 years.
When you see however you see, and you think however you think, and Yah's spirit, you got it in 1986, right? Right, she says. See, I got my numbers right. It's my friend. 1986, she got his spirit. So as she's cultivated this relationship with him, he, as a husband to her, allows her to see things for prayer, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's kind of like, man, Marshayla, you saw week after week this child is crying, you know? You don't know why this child's crying, but it's really, for some reason, standing out to you, you know? So pray about it. Call that child's name. You know, let that mother really hear the word on Shabbat, Father, behind spirits that are in the child, anything, you know. So it's like that's how we can be used in the body as women. When Yah is showing you things in your spirit, so you don't have to run around looking for somebody to agree with you. Did you see it? Did you think it? Do you hear it? Do you, you know? It's like, no, this is me and Yah. It's my relationship with him. I can call names. I can pray. So whatever you got in your heart, say it all. Say it with respect. Say it under the blood. And, you know, as my husband taught me years ago and early on, sometimes you don't know how to speak to the Father until you say it, and he can teach you how you should have said it. But if you bind yourself to, I don't know if I can say this, I don't know if I can pray that, I don't know if I can, you know, confess this, confess that, then you're not going to get free, right? So you can be a lot freer than you would imagine. And when you come to Straightway on the Sabbath day and we're silent during prayer, that is not an example of how prayer is. Pastor has always taught that. That is not an example at all of crying out. Mother Stallings taught us years ago, as an aged woman, you want to pray for the anointing to be upon the man of Yah. You want to bind up spirits that will handle the message. You want to usher in the praise and a spirit of welcoming to the man of Yah so that he doesn't have to war in the spirit to try to get the word out when we could go to war for him. Just an example. So say names. Hallelujah. All right, so I hope that helps. True confession. Hey, email me back if you got something else, got another question. Let's go to the next one. Are there any updates regarding the Be a Blessing list? Our household also wanted to send love to Sister Ashley, Granny Diane, and our beloved Sister Tammy. Bless you. We miss y'all. The menu's up. Granny Diane's going to send it to you, Marshayla.
Oh, yes. I can do that.
So, Be a Blessing grown hold till Mother frees us. We may or may not have many or any needs. So it might be a little smaller needs this year. Don't know. We still had a little bit of paper good overflow. So once we do our count, hallelujah, to each community sister that is the head wife or elder's wife, I have the menu ready. I'll be contacting you soon, and it was my desire to contact you this week. Hallelujah. So let's see. Oops. Let me go back. Are we still live? Are we live, everybody? Am I live? Somehow, somebody gave me something. It says no calls in the thing. No calls, but I still got my, I lost my chat. Yes? Yes, ma'am. 10. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, I got a phone call. Let me go to this one really quick. Let's see. Oh, phone mother Jennifer's sister asked, I'm amazed at how Yah has continued to provide. These are coming in through email, my sister's email. I'm amazed at how Yah has continued to provide what is needed on these blog talks despite how much I don't deserve. How to pray has been on my heart this week. I'm wondering how to get away from praying for yourself when you just start learning about prayer or just coming to the faith. Constantly seeing how unclean I am makes it hard to not come to Yah concerning me. All right, so you got to flip it around. You got to think like your father and not like you, okay? So you are going to want to, or the sinful nature and the enemy of your soul who comes to kill, steal, and destroy is going to want to keep you from your father. So you knowing that, you form a strategy in your mind that says, I will never stay away from my father. I will never stop going on my knees and confessing. Why? Because continually in the word, the father says, repent. It's your job to do that as a bride and wife of Christ. Repent, 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 repent. It's okay to see yourself and be disgusted over and over and over again, to be broken. He says he'll finish what he started. But you have to let him work a good work in you. And you have to want to change your mind, no matter how much it hurts. So constantly seeing how unclean you are, hallelujah. It can become, you can get so emotional in it that you're not thinking strategically. Going hard against the enemy of your soul and going hard against the carnality of your flesh. So you want to bring forth fruit of righteousness and great change. And the only way you can do that is to think like Yah. And what would Yah say? He would say, repent. And when you repent, you are received. Repent is a turnaround and a stopping of doing one thing and a starting of doing another, right? So you're going to change and change again and change again. Don't be defeated. Don't be discouraged. I know it's easy to hear right now in the moment, but when the pain comes and the reflection comes, look at it like, I will not and cannot make it into the kingdom the way that I am. So Yah must show me, reveal to me, you know, because no one else is going to be around when I stand before him. So though he may use everyone around me as tools to get me right, he loves me enough to do whatever it takes. And you can drag ass a battle as long as you want. Talked to a sister recently and said, wasn't recently, she's probably going to smile when she hears this. I said, you can make this battle as long as you want it to be. Most battles are based on your time frames. Now, you can't set yourself free, but your mind in the battle is on you. And so you want to drag this out? You want to be condemned for about 6 months? Drag it out. You want to get off the phone, gird your loins, suck it up, and start changing and be somebody you didn't even know that you could be? With Christ's strength in you, then do it right now. You constantly talk to yourself that way, you'll become somebody new. Right, Granny?
That's right.
New creature. New creature. So see how unclean you are. Hit your knees wanting to change and get up different every time. And it's not easy to face the person that hates you. Right? For those of you who live in close proximity, it's not easy to grind one to another when you got an offense. It's not easy to I don't know, whatever your thing in the flesh is right now, you know, get up every morning and cook it this day or et cetera, et cetera. But, man, those knees, it'll change it all. Submit yourself. Man, hate your pride, you know. Hate your pride, your control, how much you want your day to. You know, there's a man in a on a video. He made a comment on one of our videos. He said, a woman only wants one thing, and it's her way. And it really is the nature of a woman to just be content when she has her way. And I hate that nature, you know? So I personally resist it and fight it by trying to serve someone else, like meeting the needs of someone else, like continually and constantly. Because we really are discontent by nature, you know? There's nothing's good enough, and he don't love you enough, and she didn't do this right, and all this, it's vile. It's abominable. It's horrible. And so if you want to think like Yah, and you want to get clean, you turn that around and just constantly repent. And repentance is not to discourage or squash your spirit. It's to strengthen your spirit and to annihilate your flesh, you know? So think like our Yah. Learn our Yah. All right? I'm going to go to the phone line. Of course, my mouse froze up. Hold on here. You see it, Tammy. You see it. We got the chat room playing around first. Now we got the mouse jumping around. Hold on just a second. If I can click my screen over, I'll be able to. What's going on? Oh, I lost you. Whoever your call was, it was an area code 302. You're on hold just for a few moments, but I lost you. All right, let me go back to emails. I got the screen flashing. I don't know. Like Pastor says, it's either the devil or the battery's dead. So I'm gonna go with that. All right, we got one right here. Bless you. Bless you, Sister Asher. Thank you for hosting Sister yet again. You're faithful in your work for the saints. Thank you so much. She said, this is Sister Krista. Just want to say shalom and blessing to our onlanders at the Hub. I miss fellowship so much. It's only been a week or two since the last open Shabbat. It really makes me appreciate the ability to be in fellowship with my beloved sisters all the more. So blessed to have all you amazing women in my life. See y'all soon. Thank you so much. You know, that's a good point. I'm gonna tell y'all my thinking, okay? Not on this email, just in general, as you try to train yourself to think more like our Yah. The record in our scriptural or history record, the Bible, constantly shows how our people were so forgetful. And just by nature, I really strive, like, to remember what he's done for me, but also what he's done for everyone. I have a beautiful sister, Adele, right, who has a great testimony and story of her life in the recent year or two and what the Father's done for her. For example, I'm using her for example, but I would continually say to her, never forget, you know, I will never forget what he's done for you. And I repeat her story. I'll think on her story even in my own time because that's adding to my faith, you know. And you think about what he's done, and so you remember. So why am I saying this here? Well, it's like I never want fellowship and a Shabbat fellowship to be redundant, you know, to be light or meaningless or nothing, you know. And so you don't want to forget that, hey, we're shut down for a few weeks. We're not coming together. You don't want to forget what it was like when, man, there's nothing going on, you know. It's me and my husband or just a few saints or whatever. It's different. I really long to be with everybody. You don't want to forget those times when you're back together. You know, it's been 6 months. It's been a year. You don't want to be that hard-headed Israelite that has to experience COVID-19 just to, you know, be reminded of what the separation was, you know. So I'll constantly reflect on different interpretations that we've received. I'll reflect on different testimonies, victories, emails or text messages sisters have given me of their life, you know, not just really. Mother Carol taught me that. It's like you want to be a thankful sister for someone else's victories, you know. I guess that kind of answers a two-part question that sister had. Like, how do you, let me go back to it because I don't even think I went there. How do you get away from praying for yourself when you just start learning about prayer or you just start coming to the faith? There's probably not going to be a single prayer that you don't lift some part of you up. You know, whether it's you're coming to clean yourself. I mean, if you're new in this thing, you got a lot of cleaning to do. It's constant. It's every day. You're getting clean from your thoughts, the iniquities of your forefathers, the ill will, that you had in your heart when someone, when the pastor was speaking, when the video was playing, when a sister walked by, when your husband asked you to do something. I mean, all those little heart pricks, the things that, that are, you know, the working in the flesh, and you're bringing those things under the blood. And so our own shepherd even says that he repents every day. You know, remember his video? He said, I repent every day. So if you're in prayer about yourself in that dynamic, it's okay. You should constantly, you know, I've told y'all before, I pray to be spared. You pray to be spared, Granny,
oh, yeah.
from the wrath to come?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Not just because, oh, we live in a, you know, we live in a community. We got some bullets and some rice and we're good. You know, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And you know the record of our people, how forgetful they were or how rebellious they were, how they rose up against authority, how they murmured when they didn't have food. I mean, I'm really fearful of those scenarios. And so I practice now maintaining desires of your flesh at all times, keeping them under self-control at all times, maintaining coverage for the land, for the children who can't pray, you know, for the wives and the husbands here on the land, the pastor's home, constantly in prayer for other people, but always coming under the blood first, you know, saying names, never holding back, never. I remember there was a time that I probably, it's been so long ago, but I don't remember saying names so freely, you know, so I'm not, I don't want to coach a woman to say names when she's not quite comfortable, so I don't want anyone to get out of what the Father's doing for them, you know, and how he's leading and guiding you, but we do all have the same spirit, we should. And it does allow us to usher names or call names. And because Christianity is blessings, 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 you think you can only say somebody else's name when a blessing's going on. It's like, no, hold on. Let's just say this, for example. Let's make up. Brother, this is totally made up, hypothetical. Father, on Shabbat, I saw Brother Tom and I saw Brother Bill arguing, and they were drunk, Father, and it made me feel this certain way. I saw a child that was fearful of it and ran. Father, I pray for both of them, Father, you know, that there be no offense in their heart for one another, because I know that your unity will protect us. Unity in the body, you know. Hey, for example, I'm in Texas Assembly, right? I'm praying for unity in Texas, because if we don't have it, we're not going to be protected. And what I see, Father, is that Sister So-and-so is constantly coming against Sister Carell. Oh, man, we afraid to say that. Why are we afraid to say that? You ain't nothing anyway. You know, the Father's still going to do whatever he wants to do, but I need to get this off my chest, Father. I come under the blood just begging for mercy that I not be led wrong, you know, say anything wrong, see anything wrong. I don't want to misperceive. But when I saw this brother and this brother talking, I felt the spirit in the atmosphere, Father. I felt how uncomfortable it was. That's not your spirit. That's not welcome here on this land. You know, I see brother so-and-so. He's sick every week, Father. Break his pride. Break his pride, Father. He's not coming forth as it says in your word to call forth for the elders. You know, but I understand, as I said, as a seasoned following behind, you know, Granny Diane, Mother Carol, those who, Grandma Barr, Mother Stalin, those who taught me to pray, following behind them and going up the ladder in prayer, I understand how this might be a new dynamic for your ears, you know, to hear. So you just got to learn what Yah wants from your vessel when you're in prayer. So you don't want to ever get away from praying for yourself. Because the enemy is going to say, all you ever do is pray for yourself, right? But you do want to become someone that will go to war for someone else, you know? You do want someone to come to your mind in prayer. Like, it's constantly somebody that don't live here, often another, right, Grand Diane, coming to your heart? She says yes. You know, Sister Aya, why is Sister Aya constantly coming to my mind? My Father, build a fortress around her family. You know, what? So when we function like this as a body, praying as women, then we can call each other's name and really, you know, protect one another in prayer. So I hope that helps. You do want to get to that strength, that level where you pray for somebody else. But the more fellowship you have, the cleaner you get, the more deliverance you get, et cetera, you'll get to great, great places. So good questions. Let's go. I desire to intercede for the saints, but not living near any. I sometimes find it hard to know what to pray on their behalf. Bless you, please expound. Hey, you know, it'd be wonderful for your own faith and your own trust in your Creator. If you begin to intercede for the land, for Kansas City, for, I mean, just start calling people's names. When Yah starts to use you in that capacity, or, you know, just build your own strength and faith with Him, it's better that you don't know anything. Because then you can go, wow, Father, you know, you led me. It's okay to not be on the inside, you know, or live here. I can't tell you, y'all wouldn't believe me anyway. But when you a praying woman, you ain't even got to be somewhere across the country or in another state or in another community. You already know what's going on because it comes to your spirit. I can't tell you how many countless times somebody's sin, iniquity, or even blessing will come in my spirit during prayer as I'm praying for them or for it or for Israel. You know, right, Granny?
Yes.
She says yes. So just let Him, just open your mouth, you know, just open your mouth. Don't be afraid to call somebody's name and let Him guide your prayers. She says, mm-hmm. So it's okay to, like I said, it'll build your faith to be used by your Creator, not being around the saints just as much as it would if you were here. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. All right. What do you mean, Ashley? You can see and know the other things that go? Absolutely. Absolutely, man. You have no idea. That's why I told y'all last week on the show, Father, I see this shenanigan. But no worries. He can trust me. He can trust Diane. I'm just using her for example. When He gives you these sights, these knowings, these leadings, when you're in prayer, you know, and you're walking with Him, He can trust you with this because He needs people praying for His people. And He can only do that at the more you grow in love for one another. You know, so you can limit your Yah by your offenses, by your works of the flesh, etc. You can limit Him. At the same time, He wants to see your hunger and your desire. So don't be discouraged if you're, you know, like, man, I don't feel like, I don't even know what to say to Him when I pray. You know, if that's where you're at, then start there. Let nothing hinder you. You want to meet Him and know Him now and not meet Him when He's coming in fire, you know, as somebody that you didn't know. All right, here we go. Question for sister. Sister, in regards to prayer questions, how do you properly clean yourself to approach the Father in prayer? Pause. Hey, say something if anything comes up, Granny. But I don't know if any of you have ever seen the picture of the tabernacle, you know, the outer courts, the brazen altar, the inner courts, the menorah, the showbread, etc. So it might be a little bit above some of your heads that are new, but it won't be because you're hearing it first time from me, and you'll hear our leaders talk about it, and it'll grow. The idea will grow. How to properly clean yourself before prayer is kind of like how the sacrificial offerings of our people so many hundreds of years ago would happen when you had to come to the brazen altar or, you know, wash yourself. They had to, a whole process of preparing the sacrifice. There were many things that had to be done. So me personally, and I don't want anyone to just, like, I want you to pray like you. But take whatever I can speak and apply it, you know, your way and how the Father is dealing with you. So the way I do it is I just come to the brazen altar. I come to the, you know, the blood and ask for it to cleanse me from anything known or unknown, you know. And all you're doing is repenting. You know, for not being like Him, for not being whatever it is. You know, it was hard for you to praise Him today. It was hard for you to, you were heavy. whatever, you know, you're just talking to him about whatever flesh is binding you. You know, you want it to be easy to praise him. So if you have a problem praising him, or if your flesh is like constantly bound by heaviness, that's an issue. You want it to be easy, okay? So that's a goal that you want to set before yourself. Like, you want to be grateful. I've had some circumstances in my life where my heart says one thing, like, man, be grateful for what? You know, because you're swallowed up with whatever, just feelings. But your mind, your conscious, the spirit of Yah in you says there's so much to be grateful for. So you take care of that iniquitous heart, you know, that says, man, I'm so thankful for, you know, you might have lost all your family by coming to the way, for example. And that loss can become baggage to you if you don't get a spirit of praise about it. You'll carry it for the next 5, 10, 15 years, just the loss, living in yesterday, you know. If you don't get the spirit that I'm so grateful you chose me, I'm so grateful to know this sister and know that sister, and to get that spirit, like Paul says, where you're thankful for all things, you know, all your infirmities and all your trials. And, hey, I'm going through a battle, you can tell y'all. I'm battling, I'm in a test, I'm in a trial, whatever this is, and I notice that I'm not thankful. I notice I don't like it, and this is not like you. You know, I don't think like you in this. I'm overpowered by emotions. I'm not loving her like I should, whatever. I mean, you're just so transparent with him. And so that's how do you properly clean yourself? And you just walk through that outer court, and you tell yourself, I'm not even worthy to go into the inner courts, to the Holy of Holies with the Father, if I don't get clean first. And I never hit my knees in the arrogance like he's going to hear me. I hit my knees begging him to. And so if you keep that humility, I don't get up from my knees like, oh man, I wonder if he heard me. I don't even know. Or I don't get on my knees like, I wonder if you're even going to hear me. No, I'm going to cry out hoping you will. If I get up doubting or not knowing, I'm going to pray again the next time with the same kind of zeal, you know, that I believe if I repent, you will hear. I believe that if I show my hunger and desperation, that you will bring results. And I'm not going to listen to some voice that tries to tell me anything different. I mean, it takes a mental commitment, my sisters, that you got to dig hard for. Okay, so it says, before prayer, how do you know the iniquity in your heart has been purged thoroughly enough to approach the Father in sincere repentance so that the Father will hear you and not turn his face from you? Hallelujah. So remember, he judges the thought and the intention of your heart. So if you're bowing your heart to the ground, wanting him to see what you haven't even seen, then you know. Pardon me, I had a little interruption. I had something come through my phone. You know that you're seeking his ear. Okay? It's like calling out to his ear. Like, please, Father, turn your ear this way. It's not the idea that's like, oh, you've turned your ear away from me. That makes sense, Granny? Anything else? You thinking? If anything comes up, Granny's an old prayer warrior. Granny and I have prayed in the chicken coop when there wasn't no chickens in it. We've prayed in the vehicles and the cars. She's come to my house at midnight. I've been to her house at midnight. She's been in my house at 4 a.m. I've been in her house at who knows wee hours in the morning. Man, ain't nothing going to stop it. We're talking about praying, setting yourselves apart for 20 days, 21, 40, 50, 2 weeks, 7 days. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray about this every day. All right, y'all, pause for a second. She's talking to me. Go ahead.
The one thing that comes to my mind is, you know, you're talking about being thankful and just and praising him because of him in you.
Him in you,
him
yes.
Him in us that we're thankful for. It's not anything that we've done.
It's nothing we've done, she says. It's him in you that you're thankful for.
That's why he's going to hear.
That's why he's going to hear, she says.
Approach in faith.
You approach in faith.
He's his spirit in us.
Knowing his spirit in us. Is why he hears us.
Is why he hears us.
Yes. Perfect. Concrete. Can doubt and a wicked heart of unbelief keep you from accepting your prayers or being received? Yes, but once again, you need to even confess to the Father that you don't think like Him. Confess that your thought says, my prayers aren't being received. My prayers aren't being heard. And if you think that every day, say that before the prayer.
Right.
Whatever style you're approaching Him, whatever your thought and your feeling is in that moment, say it. Get it clean. You know? Man, Father, forgive me. You know, it's difficult to even bow down. My knees hurt and my head hurts. But I'm not going to let this flesh stop me, Father. You know? Or you know, what Satan loves to play strategy on a woman's mind. Man, could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be a spirit? Could it be that? And even if you knew or didn't know, he'd still play some other game. So like she said, you're just coming in total faith. You hear me because you are mighty, and it's you in me that hears. If you decide to turn your back, turn your ear, you're still worthy. I'm still going to cry out. If you flee and run away from me, Jesus, I'm still going to scream louder. That's the kind of heart you need. So you take your thoughts and you go, man, my thoughts aren't like yours. The way that I've rejected myself and my looks and my body and my life and my loved ones and she didn't love me and he didn't love me and all these disaster and rejection has happened in all my life, so now I put it off on you, Father. And I blame you, even though commandments say don't bring him down to the corruptible image of man. I still fault you for the things that man do one to another. Our Yah does not operate anything like this evil, Adamic flesh and this nature and this sinful nature. I'm telling you, he is nothing like anything you've ever known. You can't even fathom it because your thoughts are just not his thoughts and your ways aren't his ways. Hope that helps. Hallelujah. Let's go to here. Yes, ma'am. That's absolutely what I needed and more. This is a sister on a part two email. She says, I have a question about trials. Sometimes I don't realize I'm going through a test till it's over. Sometimes they are so painful, sometimes not so much, but I do learn something each time. Will everyone have to have a train wreck experience to get broken, or is it resistance that makes the test harder? Sometimes I'm fearful of what's to come, but maybe I'm overthinking, slightly nervous about that. About that ill confession that the Father tonight in prayer, hallelujah. Also, can you speak on slowing down situations in order to process it before a response? All right, two-part question. So she talks about when you fear a trial and when you fear a test, you're putting too much trust in yourself. The flesh can't comprehend, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The flesh will never be able to explain that. There's nothing that I can't go through. Nothing. Why? Because the greater one is in me. So you stop depending upon your inabilities and you say, look what all he's done already. You think something else gets put in front of you? He ain't going to show you how to speak, what to do, how to repent. How to turn, how to change, how to resist, how to be discreet. And you just put your trust in that. There's no way you're not going to lead me and guide me. There's no way. Because it's not your will to see me forsaken. And so, what does it say? I don't realize I'm going through a test till it's over. We're all being tested continually, constantly. And, right, Granny?
Yeah, we are.
We're tested even when we don't think we're tested. She says, sometimes it's painful, sometimes not so much, but I do learn something each time. We're all students sitting at a desk, all of us. Sometimes you get up and you go pick up your test paper and then you sit back down in your desk and you take it. Sometimes you're just taking notes, being taught. Either way, you don't even got to know. Don't get worked up, my sisters, and man, is this a test or not? Is this? Because every moment of your life is being observed by our Creator, His heavenly angels. Everything's being recorded, whether you call it a test in your flesh or not. Remember the verse, he brought you out. Where's it at, Sakina? Dig it up for me. He brought you out to the wilderness to test you, to prove you.
Mm-hmm.
It's already started for you, my sisters. And so if you have his mind and you know that I can do nothing, but you can do everything, then I'm going to rely on you because what do I want to do? I wants to revert back to flesh, right? Feelings, this, that, and the other. But you push me on to perfection, to resistance, to belief, to glory, to praise, to the fruits of the Spirit. So don't fear when he's not there, so you think. Will everyone have to have a train wreck experience to get broken, or is it resistance that makes the test harder? I'm not sure what everyone's train wreck experience is like. I do know that everyone will have a crossroads, and I've said that before. You're going to get to a point where there's something inside of you that your heart, your iniquitous heart, your fleshly heart is going to say, bump this, I'm not doing it. Sometimes it's loving somebody that you can't, especially when that person is disrespectful or don't love you or don't measure up to how you want her to be or whatever. Sister-to-sister relationships will check you in a minute. And y'all will let you know quick that you ain't got his nature. So that, just for example, sometimes I'm fearful of what is to come, but maybe I'm overthinking, slightly nervous. So the nervousness, talk to y'all about it. I mean, truly be transparent about everything inside of you. I fear tests, I fear trials. I've seen a sister or this sister go through something. I don't want it. Like, it makes me afraid. You got to confess your fears now, because I promise you, what does he say? I will laugh when your calamity hits. I will mock you on that day. And he means, because you didn't turn to me, you didn't say who you really are, and you wasn't vulnerable, and you didn't repent, and you didn't seek me and stay on your face and cry out to me to be spared, and you're but flesh. And so you're gonna cry out to me when your fear does come upon you. And believe me, it's coming. You already know. You go to your local market, you can feel fear that you didn't fear when you was just in your house, right? So you're gonna really, in this end time, face great fear. And right now, it's really important, as you face them, as you feel them, to just cry them out and confess them. Deuteronomy 8:2. In the wilderness. Thank you. Granny's here for a purpose tonight. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:2. Post it, Sister Wenda. Hallelujah. Can you speak on slowing down situations in order to process it before a response? How do you do that? Well, you practice slowing down your speech by everyone in your life. I'll give you an example. Maybe it's just your child that you need to slow down with, so that when another sister or when contention arises, you've practiced slowing down things. You have to practice who you want to be with every person in your normal day-to-day relationship, so that when something contrary occurs around you, you can apply it. Right? So the who Ashley is behind the scenes with her children, with her husband, that's who I'm going to be in the open. Right? So you want to slow down. See, America is so fast, fast, fast that it's made the human spirit demanding and controlling. You know, slamming, fast, got to move, got to do this right now. And when you make yourself slow down and you're not doing anything, let's say you're just waiting on ya. Let's say you're just patient. And something inside your old man says, must be something wrong. You know, I ain't doing something. What should I be doing? I need to be fast. I need to be praying. No, slow down. Slow down. You're good. Just live. Right, Granny?
Yes.
Just live. So I hope that helps. Speak on slowing down situations in order to process it before a response. Like Mother Carol said it years ago. She isn't quick with her words because it's not in her. These sassy women that we come up against sometimes, man, they so quick with their sarcasm, and they look, I used to be that, so I already know. You got something to say before that person even finishes, because that's just your evil nature. So maybe you're somebody that, man, you're trying to process what's being said to you, and she already sassed and snapped off and cut an ass and you're like, whoa, like, should I have resisted? Should I have said something? I mean, this kind of stuff goes down. No, you shouldn't have. You walking away with all this stuff coming to your mind like, man, I should have told that sister this. No, you shouldn't have. Your mind's spinning now with all the things you should have. No, you shouldn't have said none of that. None of it. Because none of that mattered. And so you don't want to be that person that's so quick to say something. I used to be like that. So now I'm like, huh? Like, I understand what you're saying now, mother, because it ain't in me no more. You know? You don't get sassed or smart assed or sister make a jab or a stab at you and you're like, huh? Like, I felt it. I feel what you're saying, but hallelujah. Seriously. So just because we are the first generation, if I can say that, the first generation to come out, we just got a lot of things, a lot of dynamics in women. We got some women that are sincerely in love with the Father. We got some women that are bound and determined to be contrary. You know, some carry the baggage of the world, and it's just not, they're weak, and it's not easy for them to lean to Yah. You know, everyone's learning, everyone's in a press. And some of you are being used in their lives to press the shit out of them. And that's a good thing, right, Granny?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So whoever it is, like whoever it is, Tammy, whoever it is that Yah's using to teach you, glory. Glory, hallelujah. So slowing things down, man, I've told women before, here straightway we eat at 8 and 3. No matter what goes on between 8 and 3, I promise you that 8 and 3 ain't changed in 14 years since I've been here. Slow your ass down. Slow down. The 3 o'clock come around, we still going to eat the meal, bless the meal, everybody going to sit down. And all that drama and everything that you caused in between and all that stuff that went on in your mind, you're going to lay down at night, same time every night. You're going to get up and eat breakfast at 8 every morning. So something in you, you just get tired. You get tired of keeping up with all the foolishness and all the mess. Look at the pattern of your life. You've always been fed. Yah's been good to you. He brought you to the truth. He's been a stable presence. He's never forsaken you or forgotten you. All that turmoil and anxiety that you have. Oh, this is going on. I need prayer. I got this. And I'm not mocking that by any means. But your hastiness in the storm is like, it needs to be tamed. You know, calm down. Tame your emotions. He's there.
Hallelujah.
Something's going around you. The storm is brewing. This is going on. This is going on. Okay. But it's out of your control. And sometimes a spirit of control is what makes you lose control. You know? Or fear losing it. But everything around you happening so fast, you feel like you gotta run with it. And go that fast with it. No. Just chill out. I mean, in the grand scheme, when you belong to him and you're in his bosom and you're in his hand, man, you got no say over nothing. No victory or defeat, you know? Just keep plowing, keep running, and keep hope alive. And just wait on redemption. Wait on the lesson. If you don't know answers, how are you going to stress that you don't know an answer when you're not the one who gives an answer? You'd be like, oh, man, what am I supposed to be doing right now? And What do I, all the questions, all that stress and all that anxiety, you still ate dinner, you still ate breakfast, you still went to sleep, and you still didn't get no answer. So you get old, you get tired of all the emotions and the up and downs, and you just rest. Just rest. Eat your breakfast, eat your dinner, go to bed, pray, and wait. Hallelujah. And as far as a trial or a test coming? Oh, undoubtedly, it's coming for each of you. See, it depends on your nature, though. You know, how much resistance is in you. Do you want the next thing? Because you can make it worse. You can make it harder. You can make it... Is that, I don't know what Yah's going to say. Like, okay, she don't want it? Well, stay where you're at. Be tormented. Stay right on the level where you're at. I'm not going to free you then. You know? I don't know his mind in your situation. My spirit, give me the next thing. Because I don't believe I got to get 80 years old to make it into the kingdom. I just got to conquer this and then conquer that and then conquer this and conquer that. And I'm out. Nothing but a memory. You know? So you need that commitment that just, it doesn't matter what's set before you. He's done too many mighty things, and I've done nothing. You know? Hallelujah. Go back to the emails. And don't forget, Sister Tammy, let's check the phone lines, Tammy. What is going on? Hallelujah, glory to the Father. No phone lines or no phone calls. Mama Deidre, seasoned woman in the way, in the faith, and with the Father, she says, that's right. That's it. Granny Diane says, that's it. 36 years with the Father. Wow. All right. Pastor revisited the spirit of rejection. Yes, he did. Last Shabbat. Blessed be Yah's holy name. This email says, which was then discussed at length in my master's household that evening. One of the characteristics not mentioned was someone who labels themselves as being antisocial. One of the wicked words often promoted in this society is being antisocial. Can you explain the difference between being set apart from heathens, but giving legal ground to spirits telling a saint that they are antisocial? Pastor mentioned wanting to be alone will also allow spirits to minister to you. Can you clarify the difference? This was a discussion in my master's household recently. Hey, good question, and it's like a lot of, like, I would have a lot of questions for you, actually, because I wouldn't want to go down a different road and not make any sense, because it's kind of like a really broad topic. Antisocial, I'll tell you just to start off, the first few things that come to my mind. We live in a community where, back in the day, everything you did, we communicated. Like, we communicated everything. Hey, Elbreaker, I'm going to town. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mother Carol, can you ask Pastor, could I drive the whatever, you know, the Suburban, can I make it to town? It might be yes or no, Vicky needs it, you know, et cetera. So now we have this new generation community where we don't communicate the same at all. It's a completely different land. It really is. And so that leaves a lot of antisocial behavior, honestly. So what happens to the old school saints is we're cool, we're chill, we've been married forever, old married couple sitting on the couch sipping tea, we go to bed at the same time every night, breakfast is at 8 and 3. I don't know how anyone else is, I'm just meaning in the grand scheme of things, there's different dynamics to people's antisocial behavior. Some people are antisocial by nature because they have so much going on in their minds that they really do refuse to fellowship. That's one aspect. Some people are antisocial and they won't communicate. Okay, let's give an example. You got a sister that will come to fellowship on Sabbath, but then might not come for 6 weeks and then pop up again. Hey, that's not how we roll. Why? Because we really care, right? Why are you being antisocial for 6 weeks? Maybe something was going on, but here's the thing, my sister. Usually, because of how the world functions so independently, and it's woven itself into the nature of our homes, we don't even know that somebody else is thinking of us. I can't tell you how many times somebody will call, say they're coming, get approval, you cook a meal, they don't show. We got fried chicken, steaks on the grill, baked potato, man, we hooking this family up, and they're not here. Then they call, and they're at Hearthstone, they're late, they don't need dinner, they need it tomorrow. So you make it all over again the next day, and they don't show up again. I mean, and this is time after hundreds of, right, Granny? Hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of times over the years. Never to make you bitter. It's a joy to make the meal every time. But it's not in the hearts of most people to communicate to one another. What drives the antisocial behavior? Most of the time, it's embarrassment or shame or the concept of, I don't need you. Like, I'm good. Well, what about the guy who just called today that said, hey, I had a stroke. I passed out over my glass table and laid under that glass table for 2 weeks. Right? What about that antisocial behavior? Who gonna save you then? We're just asking you to, hey, let us know. You doing good? Tell somebody. Are you sick? You good? Man, the Bell House, we communicate everything. Where are we going? What are we doing? We telling somebody. Most of the time it's Diana, Elder, you know, just passing it up to Elder Becky's on the land consistently. But we keep up that pattern because, man, check on me if I go down. I asked Granny before the show, what made us friends? And Granny and I are obviously, she's a mom's age to me. And we're very different, right, Granny?
Yes.
Granny, you want to host the show next week?
No, thank you.
Nope, she was sitting right in the back, and you'll barely hear her when she speaks. It's like, did anybody even hear her when she was talking earlier? I'm trying to translate because I know, you know, she's like whispering. We're just two different creatures, right? So what made us friends, I was thinking, was especially early on when, you know, a woman don't have children or maybe I had my first child or whatever. Man, you bear everything on your shoulders. You're good. Why? Because you did it in the world. You know, you're in control of your environment and sharing responsibilities and saying, I need you, or actually receiving something like help, et cetera, is new. So most people, when they come to a community, they go through that dynamic of, oh, no thanks. They want to do the serving, they want to do the giving, but they don't want to be a liability, and they don't want to tell you nothing, like, I'm good. And so I was like that in my heart, not intentionally, but I was trying to serve everybody and do something for everybody, and I didn't receive easily. And so for Granny, she was my neighbor. I moved to the community. I lived in the same trailer with her for almost 3 years. And then when we moved in a different location, her house was right beside of my husband's house, and we were neighbors far away from, you know, about a mile from all the other saints, a mile from our eating location, et cetera. And so we were neighbors. So it was constantly, who's checking on me if I go down or my children go down? Her. That's it. Just her. Who's bringing a meal if, you know, I'm sick or my children needed something? It's her. You're constantly, how can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? Like, what can I do? Even to the point, the last time I was in the house of purification, I'm like, if you come over here one more time, remember when I told you that? If you don't get your ass out of here. I was trying to watch the Passover celebration by myself, and here she came. Remember? I got a picture of it. I'm like, look, you get your, we can talk that way, though. I'm like, get out of here. Go to service. I'm good, you know. But anyway, turns out, Deacon had said, go sit with her, you know. She alone for service, but anyway, so it was her friendliness that really taught me how to receive, because, you know, giving is easy for most saints, you know, but something in you has to break and get that receive going too. So antisocial, hey, big word, you know, and I know you're not talking about the 6 feet distance, right? But depending on how antisocial a person is, there's a spirit that really drives that, and yes, rejection. But it's typically the heart's meditations of who they think they are, you know. Whoever Tammy thinks she is, at some point she believes others think that same way. And that's where Satan gets a snare, right, for each one of us. Hey, if you think this thought about yourself, and I'm Satan, y'all forbid, I'm going to get somebody to say that same thought to you. So it has even more of an impact, and it takes root even deeper. So someone who's antisocial, you know, fears speaking or communicating or talking or opening up, etc., they're meditating on themselves a lot, very selfish in their own world. And then there's the other great aspect to, if you want to say antisocial behavior, some young women are wonderful examples of being antisocial, not being in somebody else's business. I mean, in some of the younger, you know, the teenagers, the young women, Johnny's example, Cheyenne example, these women are not going to be all up in another woman's business. They're not going to be up in a man's face. They're not going to be, you know, where they shouldn't be, you know, so there's social limitations that are very respectful. They're not going to be with a cliquish group of women that are acting contrary to holiness. Right, they're going to pick and choose their relationships wiser than even worldly women would. So, yeah, there's good, justifiable, godly natures with antisocialism too. But it comes up to the individual's heart of, why are you withdrawing? Why are you not coming out of your house? Why are you not at the projects? Why are you not with the sisters constantly? Why is this your pattern that we can't find you? You know, obviously my speech, we live on a community, so these things, you know, they're evident. Some people are determined to set themselves apart from love because of their own rejections. And you, as a woman, you can't take that personal, because It's not you that they don't love, it's themselves. Right, Granny? All right. So I hope that helps. Please email me again if it didn't. Shalom, Sister Ashley. This is the last email for tonight. Bless you. Not that you can't email anymore, my sisters. I'm just meaning in general. Great show, great questions. I hope y'all got something out of it. It's my last one in the inbox right now. It says, Shalom, Sister Ashley. Bless you for being obedient every week and coming forward to teach the sisters. Thank you for listening. Sister Burgundy, thank you. I truly look forward to and appreciate this broadcast every week. I've learned so much in this short time from listening every week and listening to the archives. In my daily prayer, I've been asking the Father to reveal to me spirits that are operating within me that are not of Him. He's revealed to me the spirits of rejection and offense heavily, and now I'm beginning to discern these spirits within myself. I'm beginning to hate how sensitive I can be, react, and how irrational my thinking can be. I'm realizing that I discern or realize that these spirits are operating after the fact. Yep, that's part of it. That's so you'll get sick of it and fight back even harder. She says, like, after the incident has occurred and I'm in deep reflection about what I could have done or said or not said or how I could have reacted differently, my question is, how do you begin to recognize these things when they occur as opposed to after? How might I become more aware of when these spirits are operating before the fact? You're actually trying to preserve yourself and protect yourself from the heartache, and that's not going to happen. You're actually trying to build a defense of pride that if I can get this under control before it ever happens, then I won't have to feel like this, right? And that's a dynamic of the heart and the mind that won't tell on itself. It's something you have to learn about your heart and go, shoot, right? I see what you're doing. So you build a strategy against it, and you say, okay, if this is how the Father's going to teach me, then I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm going to get it right. See, one thing that's going to make us all stronger as women is stop fearing mistakes and relationships and fearing embarrassment and fear shames and fears and fears and fears, because it really limits you and it limits your potential as a woman. Where's the person that says, hey, no matter what, I'm going to get it right. Like, I'm going to get it right. If I got to be whatever I got to be, if I got to fall on my face, if I got to make a mistake, if I got to, you know, say something wrong just to see myself, I'm going to get it right, because I'm going to go quickly to my sister and repent. You know, I've seen a few this before, Granddad. I've seen somebody will go, hey, I need to talk to you. And my spirit in me is like, absolutely, like whatever it is, like however I can serve you, whatever you want to get off your mind, man, it's on my heart heavy. Okay, so day 3, day 4, you're still waiting. Day 6, day 7, I'm just hypothetical here. Like, then you finally come around and you might repent or talk to me about whatever you did or I did or you whatever. Hold on. The spirit don't work like that. The spirit of Yah that makes us run with great fear, I'm going to get this right now. Look, I've laid in my bed hardly sleeping at night, tossing and turning because I can't wait till the next morning to repent to somebody for what I said or did. Because when I walked away, I didn't see it that way, or I didn't understand, or whatever. Like, I'm getting this right. And your mind has to say, it don't matter who sees it. Like, it don't matter who experiences this with me. I'm sorry, that's part of loving me and enduring me. Like, I'm going to be a good sister. And if all I'm known for is getting my shit together after I fail, then hallelujah for that testimony of me. But running and fleeing from circumstance and hiding and being introverted because you fear, it's not a good testimony. And right now, it's a lot of that going on. It's a lot of eggshells. You know, a lot of women are really afraid. You know, I understand. You've been out of order all these years, and now you're like, man, you come to the Father, and you just want to be perfect, and you don't want to make no mistakes. But we're not going to get clean like that. It's like, man. And so a sister had texted. Let's go to the email. I said text, but I meant this is the one that I was actually going to, this is going to be the only one for the night. Let's see. Where are you, my sister? She texted after last week's show. She texted a question, and I said, hey, I would like to address this on the show. The title of it was Being Vulnerable versus Being Emotional, and she said, Shalom, may you share with me insight on discerning how to be vulnerable in relationships with the Father, but also sisters. and when it's just being emotional? Question mark. What things need to be shared to have a healthy friendship and a sisterhood versus something I just need to take to y'all in prayer? And then even when in prayer, how do I be real and raw with y'all, which I think we covered tonight, but she said, but also mature and not just talking to myself or coming from displaced feelings and emotions. I know I need healing that can only come from a real friendship, so understanding that I must show myself friendly, what does healthy communication with my sisters that leads to healing sound like? Thank you. And then just a couple of correspondences later, she had also said, may you speak on blockages. It's like there's a hindrance. I could cry really easy for movies and dumb worldly stuff, but it's harder to have real emotions towards the Father, if that makes sense. Like really crying out to Him and not whining. So initially my thought would be, I'm going to tell you what Satan's going to do. His strategy against you with this mind is, he's going to say, don't go to Yah because you're just whining. And then to another sister, I promise you Satan's saying something to you, maybe around the same area, but if you could see things through your enemy's perspective, not becoming as him, I don't mean that at all, but you learn his strategy against you, and you learn how to fight and resist. If you're going to tell me as an enemy that I'm just whining, then I'm going to go whine to the Father so that he can coach me on how to get this together. Because if not, you're going to hold a lot of things in and you're going to try to be stronger than you are. And you're really a broken woman. So let's say, for example, you came into the faith and you really looked hard for a relationship, whether it was a man or a woman, and you really made a lot of flops and a lot of mistakes, and you said this and did that and made an ass of yourself, it doesn't matter, whatever it was. Guess what? It was because you didn't seek Yah first. And that was really Diane's answer when I said to her, how did we even build this relationship that we've had, right? Because there were times that, do we really even talk to each other, Granny? I mean, we live on the same land. I was like, hey, bless you, whatever we're doing. We always work well together, always, right? What are you
we
thinking?
What's that? We prayed together for a while.
Yeah.
Even back when Mother Stone.
Even, yeah. Oh, yeah. Granny would. And see, I was thinking even back when you guys had that wreck
mm-hmm.
and y'all were down for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we would pull together, me and Grandma Barb and Mother Stone would pray for you guys. And that took you out for a while. What?
And you chauffeured us a lot back.
Yes. Okay. And so I took her to physical therapy, her and Elder Becker to physical therapy when I first moved here because they had taken a really bad car accident. It's amazing that they're even alive. Yeah, so always had a relationship, always. I'm trying to use that for example. It's interesting that she's even here tonight, which is a surprise for me. She's just sitting in the back. But I'm trying to bring that as a dynamic to each of you, you know. What I had told this sister early on was that it was an intricate question, and I desired to answer it on a show. Okay, sound check. I see all your zeros. I see your no and your no audio. Sound check. The cord came out of the plug. The phone cord came out of the plug. We're back?
Yes.
We're back. Tense. All right. So let me go back to my email, my sisters, and we'll wrap it up with this, okay? Wow, time goes so fast. Wow. Okay, so she had asked me about being vulnerable in relationships with the Father and with sisters, and when it's just being emotional, for example, and what things need to be shared to have a healthy relationship versus things that you need to just take just to the Father, right? And a lot of things, even though these are great questions, and this comes from a sincere heart who's looking to be healed in every way, right? A lot of things are just your journey that you're going to discover on your own. I had emailed back and I said this is an intricate question and I desire to answer it on a show, hoping this next one coming up, but please reach out to me again soon if we don't cover it on the show. And I said, for now, pay attention to sound women. And this is really important, my sisters. Pay attention to sound women that are married and submitted to one man. Those are the ones that you can typically trust. If you talk to too many, you should now refocus your efforts to Yah. Satan will accuse you of being emotional, but he's a liar. Show tears, say names, and weep to your Yah. Dig deep to see yourself, and don't fear being disgusted time and time again. Being emotional can't be a reason not to cry to Yah, especially if you want to change. Your healing will come, but you already know the journey is full of sorrow. Find one woman that you can serve. Y'all hear me? Find one woman you can serve. Or just one person in general. Maybe it's just someone in your house or whoever. If you serve that person, if you put that person first, Yah will really, really minister to you. I said, find one woman you can serve and trust and be a friend to her. Nothing fake. Honor her. Compliment her. Pray for her. Encourage her. If you pick the wrong one, you're going to get hurt time and time again and rejected time and time again, think something's wrong with you. Maybe you just need to refocus. There's someone for you, right? If it's not now, wait. If you don't see it, pray. You know, if you don't have it, seek Yah. I don't want you to seek a relationship so much, whether it's male or female, that you deny your creator. Because if you begin to get too close to anybody, man, female, husband, child, he'll take it. He'll take it. And that is much more pain than you could save yourself by going to the Father and saying, I'm searching for somebody to love me in the flesh because I don't like how you are manifesting your love to me. That's being vulnerable to the Father. I'm running around looking for somebody to love me because I really don't believe you do. That's being vulnerable to Yah. You know, I'm running around looking for somebody to accept me because I thrive off of someone's acceptance because I'm so damn rejected. You know, because I hear this about myself and I hear this about myself and it spirals me down into the same emotions. I can't serve this person, that person. Look at yourself, you know, look at yourself really deep. Look at your motives. Check your friendships. Why you got them, why you're close to who you're close to. Don't say you got a friend who complains all the time because you are just like it. You know what I mean? If you got holy, sound women in your life, submit yourself to them, serve them in every kind of way. Maybe you got 12 children and she's got one, but she's doing a better job. Man, submit yourself, save yourself some heartache, and you can have the same fruit in a few days or weeks. There's something about being teachable. You know, hallelujah. But so she says she could cry really easy on movies and dumb worldly stuff, but it's harder to get to have real emotions towards the Father. There's a couple different thoughts there. Man, is there a problem crying with a movie? No. Is there a problem with Satan saying you're crying at a movie? You're crying at, yes. He gonna turn it around. He got a strategy. Man, you can't even enjoy it. Let's say it is a pure movie because he going to condemn you in the end for crying about it. Man, it was sad. Somebody died or this person, that or whatever. Man, cry. Be free. But you do want to develop the emotions towards the Father, so you tell him you don't have them. You know, constantly trying to think like him. Be to your child who you need to be to Yah. That means if you are a authority over your child, as you should be, then you should be able to relate to your husband or to your creator, because he's trying to do the same thing you're doing for your child. He's trying to teach you and guide you and love you and comfort you, and nothing that your child can do is going to take your love away. Sometimes you have to punish or discipline, etc. Your love is unmovable. That's how he feels, you know. So we have a little measure of him in us, and reflect on him in his entirety, and stop accusing him or believing Satan's strategies against our creator. As a woman, you want to be known by Yah for your love and acceptance of him, and not by your unbelief of him or your struggles to believe him. You know? It's like, no, I'm gonna turn this battle around, and I'm gonna fight, you know? And I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna be vulnerable day after day after day, because you're desperate. And never get tired of the routine. Like, man, you got to pray again today because you feel like whatever you feel like, yeah. And then tomorrow, do the same thing. Because just now, in this one moment, is a great day, right, Granny?
Hallelujah.
It's a great day to praise. It's a great day to run, and I need you right now. Because when I go out, I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what's going to be said or done or what kind of conversation or this crazy boss at my job or what. I don't know what kind of fiery dart is going to come at me, but I want your nature. Hallelujah. So hope that works. Just talk to the Father. Talk to the Father about your emotions. Talk to him about why you haven't talked to him. You know, talk to him about your confusions. You know, I can understand certain things we don't discuss on the show because I know how it would be received. One aspect of speaking about sisterhood, automatically here comes Satan. He's gonna get in the hearts of somebody and condemn you because you don't have it. Condemn you because you don't got a friend. Or et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. But it's not intended for that. You know, so take every message, every conversation, everything that comes from our shepherd and think like, yeah, what is the purpose of what I'm hearing? And how am I supposed to better myself and become a better me than I've ever seen? You know, to really, really take the potential that Yah has given you to be a friend and a sister and a wife and be it, you know, be it. And part of that is just owning up to your mistakes and getting it right, you know. Any thoughts? I'm concluding, Granny Diane. We're wrapping it up. Anything? 36 years later. Please include Sister June in your prayers and command healing for her. She has not been well for quite a few days now. She went to the hospital a few days ago, but expected to be sent home soon. Thank you, dear sisters. That's from Sister Wenda. So Sister June, you're in our prayers. Sister Grace, our 16-year-old, is in our prayers. If you were ever able to listen, my sister, you got a crew of women ready to receive you if you just hold fast. Well, hallelujah. Anything else? Let's see. Just want to say thank you from my email. Love you dearly. Yes, go ahead.
Sister Jaja just texted me to keep Sister Amy Sims up in prayer.
Jaja says, keep Sister Amy Sims up in prayer. Sister Amy, yes. And if you're able to hear tonight, bless you. Thank you for the response. This is a great show, as always. Blessings to you and your co-host with a big smile. I got my Tammy and my Diane behind me. Hallelujah. I'm doing my reasonable service just like y'all would. You already know. If y'all had a show every week, you would be doing just like me. Coming on here, hitting a few buttons. Actually, Chef's supposed to be here hitting a few buttons. But hit a few buttons. Make yourself available. Hope that your experience can bring light to somebody's darkness. And, hey, let's press on, my sisters. Let's press on. Man, confess everything to the Father, those that you hate, the things you love, everything you see about yourself. And when you don't know the motive or the intention of your own heart, just ask him for it and wait. And just have an intention to really be clean, all right? Bless your sister Ashley, sister Diana, sister Tammy. I got a question. Hold on. Here we go.
There was another sister who called asking for prayer. I put it on the board.
What's her name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Hey, Sister Cheryl's asking for prayer. Do we know anything else?
She got, she's getting evicted from her apartment. She's 56.
Okay.
And she just wanted to settle down.
A woman who is 56, her name is Cheryl, needs prayer for relocating. Where to go, what to do. Hey, that's good. That's a good start for you, Sister Amara. Throw some names out there that you can constantly lift these sisters up. We got Sister Grace, Sister June, Sister Amy, Sister Cheryl. Lift them up this week, my sisters. Hallelujah. It'd be great to have more prayer warriors. It really would. And one thing that Diane and I have always prayed is that the Father would lay upon more men's hearts the burning desire to pray. And that every man that he needs to pray would rise up, hallelujah, and really, really pray. Can't think of anything else to say to y'all. Seems like I get off of the line and I go, I meant to give a shout out to the so-and-so or so-and-so, because I have so many of y'all in my mind, you know, at the beginning of the show, and it kind of goes and we get to going. But, all right, you got 9 weeks until Passover. And remember, call names in prayer. Bury yourself naked before the Father. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:2. We will be tested. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because the end, like my husband teaches, And the end is victory. The end is victory. If you fight this battle, and you go through the fire like it's already victory, man, you can sit on a flame. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Hopefully, we'll be here next week. Y'all willing. If my chariot don't come, Lisa. Shalom, shalom.